From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to the Clark Ford Studio this morning after a week or so away. Hey, hope all of you had a Merry Christmas and a nice holiday season through the new year. Everybody safe and accounted for over New Year's Eve and into New Year's Day yesterday. Appreciate allowing us to get a little bit of a breather, take a little time away from you. Now back with a regular schedule. Beginning today, probably all watched a good bit of football, had a little too much food, and now everybody with their New Year's resolutions heading into this January 2nd. So we'll discuss a little Ole Miss stuff today, a little college football, just kind of what we've been thinking over the last 7 to 10 days. And with us, as you know, it's kind of an ongoing conversation, so we'll continue that all week long leading up to the final college football game of the season, Georgia and Alabama in Atlanta. Next week, God help us all. So we'll hit on that a little bit as the day and week move on this podcast into 2018 and hopefully beyond for a long time. Still brought to you by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go by. You can get your lunch specials. You get the ribs, even though they no longer are smoking your ham or your turkey. They will smoke up some ribs for you day or night. And as you see at the pavilion, every single game, 49-cent bottomless refills at all Blue Sky locations across Mississippi. So take advantage of that. Go see the good people at Oxford Exxon. And also, if you're in the car buying phase for the year, go see the good people at Clark Ford in Amory.
Clark Ford is in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. And then he'll take care of the rest. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then it's up to you. You get your quote. You can shop it around to other dealers if that's makes you happy. You certainly do that. It's no skin off his back. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. Just get a great deal. Then you get a great vehicle, great service, everything you could possibly want from Clark Ford and Amory, and we'll make it a little bit better. At the end of your deal, right before you finalize terms, tell Corey, you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcast. $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Where did that idiom come from? No skin off my back. What's the etymology of that?
I have no idea.
It used to be, wasn't it no skin off my nose, and then it kind of moved to back? Isn't that right?
I'm pulling it up now.
Okay.
I don't remember no skin off my nose.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong, but just got anything? Any
to
origin?
Be no cause of concern or interest to
I know
one.
What it means.
I know, I'm just trying to I'm going to see if I can find out where the origin.
Okay. If you're into that, let me know. Might have to look it up. Subscribers, help me out today, listeners. Appreciate that. You have homework here on January 2nd. All right. Let's see. We have not talked much, really, compared to our normal working days and hours. Have not spoken a whole lot over the last week. I assume you had a Merry Christmas. You stared at a lot of food you didn't eat. You probably did a little more working out than most people between December 25th and January the 1st. So are you as obsessive compulsive as always, or did you relax some the last 6-7 days?
It's pretty obsessive compulsive. Got a little under the weather, got a sinus infection that got pretty bad. Had a good Christmas. Then that's when shortly thereafter I got a little under the weather and battled that for a few days before I finally went to the doctor. It was about the excitement of my, didn't go anywhere. Didn't really do anything.
Okay. That's up your alley though. That's good.
Yeah, that was good.
Did you read a book?
You know, I didn't. I meant to. And I just never really did.
Okay.
I watched a lot of NBA, and I watched a lot more college football than I anticipated watching.
Because nothing else was on? Because something about each game sort of intrigued you?
Well, I did what a lot of people do, and that is
background.
The game's on in the background. Yeah. And then when I got to about the third quarter of an interesting game, I'd watch. And the fourth quarter of a bowl game lasts 2 hours. Yeah. And so you end up watching a lot of football. I found some games intriguing. I mean, there were games that I just would watch for a while. And then you look up and it's 10 o'clock and you're like, I did notice that the late games, like the Purdue game that night, I was like, screw this, man. Second quarter, I'm out. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game.
I don't care enough. Maybe I watched it more because we had our little competition thing going. I don't know what it was. I just watched a little more than I thought I would.
That's fair. I once it got to 24-6, I turned Alabama off last night. I didn't finish that game.
I stayed with it until about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left, and you realize Clemson was dead.
What was the final score?
24-6.
Okay, gotcha. I don't even know. So there you go. So
Alabama was
defensively dominating the football.
I compare Alabama to like an anaconda. Once they've wrapped around you, you're going to live for a little while. But you're dead.
It looked like that 2009 Ole Miss game in Oxford. You remember
it did.
This?
Yeah,
22-3.
Wet
that
day.
Felt like 61-0.
Yeah, it was 22-3, but you realized that
there was no chance.
There was literally zero chance that Ole Miss was going to score enough points to even think about making that entertaining.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's.
And Alabama was just, they were done. The first game, the first playoff game yesterday was a classic. It was a classic. It's a game people will be talking about for years to come.
It was fantastic.
It was as it, good
it gave
a
you everything you could want in a game. You get the setting with the Rose Bowl. You get a good time slot, so you don't worry about the nighttime, the bed, all that stuff that maybe the Sugar Bowl would have had to dealt with younger people or people that just had to get up and go to work this morning. You get the Heisman Trophy winner. You get two blue blood programs. You get the comeback. You get a lot of change of momentum. You get varying styles. You got everything out of that game.
That exact same game, if you play it in Miami, is not as exciting. I'm telling you, there's something about the setting of the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
It still would have been a great game, and we'd be talking about it. Now, I'm not criticizing.
No, I know.
This is a compliment to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
There's something about. And, you know, I'm not much of a traditionalist. Like, I'm not a big tradition guy. I'm not against tradition. I just don't really. It doesn't do a lot for me. But there's something about 4 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock out there, that pageantry, that setting. If you've ever been there, it's a gorgeous place. And you see the pictures of the Rose Bowl, the way the field is always manicured. And there's the picture from up above where the stealth fighter's flying over, and you can see it's an incredible photo. You can't get that anywhere else. Like, they go from that to a game inside the Superdome, and it's kind of sleepy.
You know, what's funny about that, too, you mentioned the Superdome, is that the NFL equivalent, at least when they've kept the power on, is the Super Bowls in New Orleans have a little more pizzazz and a little more pop than a lot of other places the Super Bowl goes to.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a lot of different reasons, the Sugar Bowl just doesn't really match that when you're watching on TV. And
well, the dome is dark.
It is.
The dome is dark.
It's old.
You know, the game in Atlanta will be fun to watch because the stadium's brand new and it's fantastic and all that. But I don't know. I thought Georgia, Oklahoma, first part of the third quarter when Georgia scored immediately, I thought this is going to be a classic. And there it was. I'd hate to be Lincoln Riley today because they're going to second guess themselves a lot about did they take their foot off the pedal? Did they get too conservative? Did they take the game out of Baker Mayfield's hands?
And what we don't know is how hurt was Mayfield.
And he might have been hurt. Jeffrey and I had that conversation last night. Jeffrey said he's bound to be hurt. I don't know.
They ran the ball the first four plays of overtime.
Which tells you that something was wrong.
And he threw a horrendous pass on the offsides. That was picked off. That got.
Oh, yeah. He did.
He was not the same player the last
after he took
that
shot.
Game-ish. Yeah.
He took that shot and was not the same player again.
No. He wasn't. So. Great game. Georgia-Alabama, I know this does not fit the hyperbolic nature of Twitter. It's possible that the two best teams are playing, but the league still sucked in a lot of other ways. That is possible.
Well, the league did suck. Now,
that last night was not a referendum that meant everything was great in the SEC all year.
But you said all year there were two, maybe three really good teams.
Yeah, didn't know what to do with Auburn.
And Auburn's weird. Like,
they are.
I'm not judging Auburn on yesterday. Did you watch that?
I did. Yeah.
I watched a lot of that. I mean, I could give you some serious hot takes from those first three games because that was head scratching.
Zero quarterback play out of six teams.
Yeah, the only one that had a remote quarterback at all was the Bentley kid is just gritty as hell. But I don't know how good he is. He's smart. He has football instincts. By the way, skin off your back, the origin is it relates to – the theory is that holds that it relates to being whipped, a well-known form of punishment in English-speaking countries.
Ooh.
The link would be that when one is in a situation that this phrase could describe, it is not causing you any harm and there's no fear of the punishment to oneself.
Okay, go ahead.
But let's take those three games for a minute. I mean, this is the SEC in a nutshell, right? South Carolina played Michigan. If Harbaugh's smart, he takes an NFL gig right now.
They weren't good, and frankly, they weren't well coached.
Exactly. They're not well coached. Carolina made some plays in the third quarter, got back in the game, and then out-athleted
Michigan.
Yeah,
they had some athletes and made some plays.
But South Carolina is in the middle ranking. If you were to rank, hey, let's rank the SEC teams 1 through 14 in terms of athleticism. Carolina is going to be somewhere 6 to 9 in there. I don't know. I'm not going to nitpick the hell out of that right now. If you guys want to, go for it. And they out-athleted Michigan. Well, I watched a lot of Big Ten this year. I did. I watched a lot of Big Ten because of the time slots. Michigan's not athletic enough to win the Big Ten. He talks a big game, Chase, about how he's going to go and he's going to recruit Florida and he's going to do this. He's going to recruit the South. He's going to get athletic. And they're not athletic. They're not as athletic as Ohio State. They're not as athletic as Wisconsin, who is sneaky athletic. They're not as athletic as Penn State. They're not as athletic as Northwestern.
Michigan State.
They're not as athletic as Michigan State. Well, that's half the freaking Big Ten. So
they're Iowa.
Yeah, but they're not as good as Iowa because they're not as well coached as Iowa. Iowa's very
–
Jeffrey and I had this conversation. Iowa is Chili's. A good Chili's back in the day. Iowa is – what's an example? And I don't want to make an Oxford example. I'll piss somebody off. It's you go to a restaurant, it's going to be solid. It's not going to be great. Every so often, maybe you'll have something like, whoa, that's good. You're never going to have anything that's really bad. It's Iowa. A good team. Well coached, consistent, steady. Michigan's not that. Michigan's going to they're going to appeal and hopefully get in for their sake get Shea Patterson to throw him in there. I saw where someone goes, he's the answer. I'm like, how in God's name is that guy the answer? This isn't a knock on Shea Patterson, but I watched Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson lit up the bad teams and was not good against the good ones. And Shea Patterson will not have some of the weapons at Michigan that he had at Ole Miss.
There was no A.J. Brown out there.
There's no DK Metcalf. There's no – frankly, they're no better up front than Ole Miss is. Michigan and Ole Miss would have played a competitive football game this year.
Yeah.
So I watched that one. Then I watched LSU-Notre Dame.
Oof.
Oh, my God, that's bad. It was – I mean – and I'm not one of these Notre Dame haters. It's Notre Dame, their uniforms, the whole deal. There's an aura around that program. To me, it's still there, maybe because of when I grew up. But
see, that's interesting because for my age group, we roll our eyes at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
we don't know.
I remember when Notre Dame was a big damn deal.
We grew up with the Notre Dame that is always ranked 18th in the preseason and then goes 8-4 every year.
Yeah, and I saw them when they were winning. So I see the uniform and the gold helmet and all that stuff, and
yeah,
you know, I feel a little blood flow.
Okay.
They play LSU. They can't score. The kid makes a freak play to win the game, but Ed Orgeron, in a meaningless bowl game, and let's keep this real. Nobody gives a damn. It's 2 days from now, whether anyone won the Citrus Bowl. You were fourth and maybe 2 inches. I'm trying not to be hyperbolic. Maybe 2 inches. You have Darius Geis.
It was less than half a yard for sure.
Oh, for sure. 2 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
Go for it. Get up by a score. They kick a field goal. If you're going to kick the field goal, at least get an illegal procedure penalty so that you can give the kid an angle. And I tweeted it. I'm not a hot take tweeter on college football, but he's not a head coach. It's part of the league's problem. One of the premier programs in the league has a guy who's not a head coach.
The Big Ten has better coaches.
Oh, dude.
The SEC has better athletes.
Yes.
The Big Ten has better coaches.
The Big Ten has steadier coaches.
Yeah, that's
there's more stability.
Yeah, there's less volatility.
They're solid. I mean, Michigan State's had one bad year, and everybody was like, whoa! It's because Michigan State doesn't have bad years. D'Antonio's a really good coach. Fitzgerald's a really good coach. He had coached a terrible game in Nashville. But for the most part, it was noteworthy because he never does that.
Yeah, he was bad.
He took a gamble at their own 39 that he didn't need to take. Jeff Brohm's a good coach. So Purdue's a well-coached team now. I don't know. And then the Auburn-UCF game, I'm interested to talk to Jay Tate. Auburn.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to hear what Jay thinks.
Well, he wrote a column, and I don't have premium access, so I couldn't read it. I just need to ask for it.
Okay.
But where he said, I think what he was writing was, it's not, you know, got to be a little alarmed at what you saw, because this is what Gus is. Gus is a roller coaster. Well, you don't win in this league with a roller coaster. You win with stability. And now, in fairness to them, there's no way they were going to match UCF's intensity. For UCF, for those kids, that was the game of their lives. And to Scott Frost's everlasting credit, that was if you had dropped somebody into the stadium with no knowledge at all of what was going on, they would never have guessed that coaching staff was working two jobs.
He appears to be a complete and utter ass.
Yes.
But he's a dang good football coach, and he handled this situation as well as you can possibly handle it.
To the point where you have to somewhat take a step back and go, maybe he's not an ass.
He's abrasive.
Just a hard ass. Yeah.
He's abrasive.
But he came back, and I'm convinced of this. Had this debate with somebody.
Uh-huh.
I think he came back because he actually cared about those kids.
Yeah, by that. Yeah. I'm okay there.
I don't think it was a selfish thing.
It was good for everybody. He cared about the kids. Nebraska's head coach being in that game is a good thing.
But I don't think he did it for that.
No, that's why Nebraska allowed it to happen.
Yeah, Nebraska allowed it to happen because somebody there was smart enough to go, hey, what difference does it make?
Yeah. Let our coach be in that game. Okay, fine.
I mean, they can't legally recruit anybody the week of New Year's anyway.
Yeah.
They can still call people, for God's sake. It's just football. They're not working 23 hours a day on the game plan for Auburn. So we're not in a New Year's Day bowl game, so let's let our staff be in one. That was smart. Kudos. But I'm convinced watching him kind of looking – that guy was there because
he
cared.
Intense.
He cared about those kids.
Yeah, he was in it yesterday.
Oh, big time. There was no, he wanted it for those guys. And we're going to jump around today. It's the debate, and it's worth having. It's worth having. Does UCF become the poster child for the 8-game playoff?
Yeah, we'll go to that in a second. I'm kind of curious. I think it's a good topic to shift to here.
They've at least, as we shift, they have it, to tease it, they have at least made the argument one worth having.
Yeah, It is this this portion of the decades poster child for that. Into that in a second. First, tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Jason about the float down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find him at 662-234-2704. Or J-Lo, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Excuse me. Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason, give him a call. 662-893-1212. Check out Google. Read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. If you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, that is the place to go. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which went up on Sunday. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He will prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you are interested in, looking for. The results that you see are updated daily, and then he'll take care of the rest. All you have to do is send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com.
Okay, so with Central Florida, I got a couple thoughts here. First one is, yeah, yesterday was a great win for UCF. It was a game that a lot of people were watching, even though it was in a shared time slot to some extent. On the totality on their season, they beat four top 25 teams. You know, that is what it is. That can even be debated on when you played them versus whatever. But anyway, they beat Memphis twice. They beat South Florida in a really good game to end the season or whatever that was. I guess maybe the conference title game.
No, it was the regular season.
Regular season.
Because they beat Memphis in the title game.
But I remember that South Florida game. It was good. That was a really well-played game.
One of the more entertaining games of the year, yes.
And then they beat Auburn. So four top 25 wins.
Let's not minimize beating Auburn. Hold on.
Okay.
Beat an Auburn team that beat both teams that are playing for the national championship.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, you know, it's not their fault that Auburn wasn't geeked up.
UCF, the two reasons, not saying right or wrong, why they wouldn't be the poster child and this isn't going to dictate any change, two of them.
Okay.
One is, making sure I've got the standings upset when I do this in a second. Number one is they didn't play, they've got a couple other pretty good wins. I mean, they beat Navy by 10. I mean, they were okay in some other games, beat some decent teams. They didn't do the big out-of-conference win. Now, this wasn't their fault. They played Maryland, but there wasn't the pizzazz non-conference win that probably most times the group of five team is going to need. You know what I mean?
I do.
When you know, Houston goes and beats Oklahoma or something like that where it's, boom, let's do this.
But it's harder for them to get those now because the Power Fives have insisted that the Power Fives play each other in a non-league game.
It is. Yes.
It's harder for them to get that on their schedule.
And it's a no-win situation for Oklahoma or Ole Miss or anybody else. You beat them, you're supposed to beat them. You lose to them, and you're that guy.
Sure.
So it's much easier for Ole Miss or Oklahoma to go play Abilene Christian and call it a day.
Absolutely.
That's number one. Number two, and here's the problem. I don't know, no matter what you create as your standard of playoff, let's say it's eight teams.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been in unless you put a group of five provision in.
Well, you'd have to put the provision.
They finished 12th, which is an absolute stupid. I mean, that is beyond even comprehension that they finished 12th.
Well, because there aren't 11 teams better than them.
No.
There aren't 11 teams better than them.
Shows you what coaching can do, because they're not that much better athletically than they were when they went 0-12 two years ago.
No.
System. Coaching.
System. Organization.
Yeah.
Focus, motivation, strength and conditioning, blah, blah, blah.
It's like I hadn't read the...
He might be an ass man, but you watch the way those...
They play for him.
They play... They
similar to like Mayfield's teammates. Take a bullet for him.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Frost left them, and there was no sign of any bitterness towards Scott Frost from that roster.
Yeah, top eight, had there just been a straight 18 playoff, would have been the four that got in, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Auburn, and USC.
Yeah.
Those have been the eight that would have gotten in.
And had you done it the way that people are starting to talk about it now, it would have been the four that got in.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
Yep.
Central Florida.
And then two wild cards.
Which probably would have been Wisconsin and...
Auburn. Auburn or Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Miami would have had an argument, but Auburn or Penn State.
We could do this forever. It, and I think we're on the same page on this generally. I'm more passionate about it than you are. You can't ask these kids to play three more games and not compensate them.
No, and you're never going to kill the conference championships. The people that go, hey, just kill that week. Okay, guys.
Yeah, those are the people that do that, and I'm like, so you just don't get it, do you?
Money.
You're just being an idealistic person, and that's not going to work here. The SEC championship's not going away unless, yeah, like Dr. Pepper and everybody fold up shop.
Hey, Greg, we decided we're going to kill conference championship week next year. No.
No, you're not.
We're going to Atlanta. We're playing the game.
We're going to play the game in that big stadium,
yeah,
and we're going to have Alabama play Georgia, and we're going to make a gazillion corporate dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not taking that away.
Speaking of, nobody sat out from the playoff games last night, did they?
No.
Everybody played in the playoff games?
Yeah. You and I are on the same page on this, too, I think. I think this is an age thing. Maybe it's the Notre Dame deal. If you're 50 plus, maybe, and I'm approaching this land, but the bowls mean something to you that they don't mean to the kids. The whole, I use McCaffrey because I think he's a good example. McCaffrey sat out Stanford's bowl game in the Sun Bowl, his last game. I would be willing to bet that every person on that Stanford roster supported that decision.
Yeah, I've talked to lots of players. I think that would be unanimous. I think that'd be whatever.
Let's say next year.
Uh-huh.
Let's make this an Ole Miss example, because I think this is how you get people to really think about it.
Okay.
Let's say next year Ole Miss wins its appeal.
Okay.
They become bowl eligible.
Okay.
And they go 7-5.
And they go to the Belk Bowl.
Go to the Belk Bowl.
Okay.
And Greg Little has solidified himself as a top five pick.
Ole Miss and Duke in the Belk Bowl next year.
Fair enough.
Add a little to it. Let's put a little spice on it.
Ole Miss and Duke.
Matt Luke, David Cutcliffe.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But you're Greg Little. You've positioned yourself, and you're healthy. You walked out of the Egg Bowl healthy. You're good. You got a month or so to heal your body up, and then
start combine.
You're going to declare for the NFL draft, and then you're going to go to Florida or Arizona or wherever, and you're going to get yourself in tip-top, incredible shape so that when you go to Indianapolis and
they start inspecting you and pulling all your body fat and all that stuff.
So that, yeah, when they are inspecting you, when you strip down to your skivvies,
yeah,
and they look at everything else, you look good.
Yeah.
You're solid. You're put together. It's all good. You're going to be in the best shape of your life. Is anyone really, be honest out there, do you blame Greg Little for saying, here's what's not worth it for me? I get rolled up. Lester Cotton got hurt last night.
He did.
That Northwestern quarterback was going to the NFL, and he blew his knee out. You can get hurt in these games.
Kid from Notre Dame a couple years ago.
Get rolled up. And now, let's see if it's safe. It's not even that terrible. Not that awful of an injury. But now you can't get your butt in shape.
High ankle sprain.
A high ankle sprain. Really roll it up.
Yeah. Those suck for a month.
And so you can't really get into shape until sometime in mid-February, and you go to the combine, and instead of being a top five pick, you fall to 28th. You lost money that you can't make up, man. You can't make that money up for 4 years, Chase. And 4 years in the NFL is an eternity.
No, you and I are 100% on the same page here. My difference is I think it starts a slope. I think it starts being, well, why play the last game of the season?
I agree.
Why play the playoff game? Why not play against Louisiana Tech, but play against Alabama? Why don't we play this week in week three, not week five? Well,
yeah.
If the left tackle doesn't play, well, now the quarterback doesn't want to play because he's not getting protected. Well, now if the quarterback doesn't play, A.J. Brown goes, well, why the hell am I playing? He's not throwing me the ball. That other dude's throwing me the ball that I've seen every day in practice, and he sucks. That's my issue. Where in a vacuum,
I don't have a problem with that.
Good. See, I do because
No, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But there's an answer here.
Okay.
There's an answer. The coaches are making $7-8 million a year.
That's an answer, and it's a good start. But that's not making up for the money you're losing in the NFL. That's a non-factor when it comes to the conversation we're talking about.
So you have to compensate the players.
But you can't compensate the players with hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, but it's time to – you can get realistic with kids.
You allow them to get endorsements, and then whatever happens, happens.
Yes.
If the mattress store wants to do it, have at it.
That's my point. Why? Let's take McCaffrey. You don't think Christian McCaffrey could have been having some advertising? He could have made hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You don't think Jake Fromm could get some advertising? You don't think Baker Mayfield could have gotten some advertising? You don't think an Oklahoma City car dealer might want to jump in on that?
Yeah.
Well, why the F can he not do that?
Yeah, that's the answer. It's not university style.
No, because it's not nothing against – I'm going to use an example because he won't be offended by it. Not against Robert Conyers. Solid player, played his butt off, who might have gotten some sort of a local endorsement.
Well,
but
that's a great point. He would have gotten a local – it wouldn't have been the Baker Mayfield, the Chad Kelly, the Robert Condici
but
thing.
But Robert wasn't an elite NFL prospect, and he'd be the first to tell you that,
somebody
I would suspect.
In town put Caden Lee's picture on something.
Yeah. My point is that for these guys who are risking something, Leonard Fournette last year would have been crazy to play in that bowl game. He went in the top 10 in the draft. If he blows his knee out, he doesn't go in the top 10 in the draft.
I guess my point, though, is even if you allow endorsements and he gets $250,000, he going to play in the game?
I don't know.
No.
Probably
That's
not.
That's probably not changing
But that probably
decision.
Changes the slippery slope and makes it a lot less slippery.
Okay. Because
someone on our board had a great idea. Make the bowl game eligible for kids who've been redshirted.
I like that in general, even if the guys are playing. I like the redshirt being eligible.
Let them be eligible.
Game.
Let them play a free game.
Yeah, I like that. Why not?
Yeah. Odds are if they were going to be playing, they'd be playing anyway. Maybe so now they get a few snaps, get some stuff on film, get some of the nerves out.
Yeah.
But you can make the slippery slope less slippery. You can.
If it gets slippery at all, I kind of have issue with you starting the season on scholarship and then stopping at some point.
Sure.
That's my.
But the bowl game happens when the school's out.
Yeah.
You finished your semester. You're not going back. So what the hell?
But at some point, somebody's pulling out of a playoff game, too. I know it's less likely to do it, but somebody is.
Maybe.
I mean, you talk about, well, why does it really matter? Well, in the grand scheme of it being from an NFL standpoint, it still doesn't resonate on that level of taking care of your family.
Yeah, they wouldn't care.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm curious where it goes is the thing. I mean, what was it? Was it Clowney a couple years ago that nobody goes, is he even going to play his senior year?
Was right. Kind of well, was his junior started? Year. Is he even going to play his junior year?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I meant.
Truth. And that's where another topic entirely. And look, Jadeveon Clowney, Laremy Tunsil, these kind of people are very rare.
It's not half your roster, for gosh sake.
But there's no reason that Jadeveon Clowney had to stay at South Carolina for 3 years. He was going to be the first pick in the draft the year before that.
I put this on the board the other day. Now, where we are 100% is I think a kid can go pro whenever he wants to, because I said this, it's a lot. I made the comparison, and there'll be some people on the political spectrum that get on me about this, but it's a lot like the argument with the lottery where they go, well, you can't do that because poor people are going to spend all their money and we have to protect them. It's not the college's job or the government's job to protect stupidity.
Yeah, you can't legislate decision-making.
So, it's in a lot of the same ways, if a high school kid wants to go pro, number one, nobody's going to draft him probably anyway.
No.
But if they did, okay, that's his dumb decision, and he's going to get mauled for 2 years.
That's what I hate about the NBA one-and-done rule. Have you watched this Trae Young at Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Trae Young doesn't need to be at Oklahoma. Trae Young could be playing for the Clippers right now.
Kid from Duke, too.
Oh, yeah. Bagley. Yeah. What the hell's Trae Young and Marvin Bagley doing in college? They're not going to college for 4 years.
I'm a little bit of a walking contradiction because I actually like the baseball rules. You get the option, and then you don't. And my reasoning is it's a little bit nuanced. It's because of the 11.7 and them not allowing full scholarships.
Yeah, see, I think the 11.7 is a complete abomination.
But because of that abomination, that creates a little different nuance with baseball.
It is nuanced. The answer there is 25 scholarships.
And it's two separate divisions. If you can't do that, then go play
in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And then the teams that can support 25 scholarships will do it.
Yeah, let ULM and schools like that play in their own division.
Yeah.
And they'll have their own playoff. And it'll still be meaningful to them.
Yeah.
But let the big boys play the big boys. And if you're going to be the top.
At the end of the year, the big boys still go to Omaha and the other guys go to wherever.
Yeah, let them go wherever.
San Diego.
Sure, whatever, who cares? But if you're going to be the seventh pick in the draft after your freshman year, why should you have to go back to college for two more years?
200 more innings on your arm.
Why would you do that? Stupid.
Drew would have gotten picked pretty high after 09.
You're wanting to join the political party that I'm trying to get organized for a long time, which is the Common Sense Party.
The Common Sense Party.
But take my example. If next year in the Belt Bowl, if Greg Little goes, I just can't take that gamble. Is anyone really mad at him? If A.J. Brown has worked his way into the top 10 picks of the draft, but he's done it based on being a freak athlete with an incredible body, does he say, do I really want to go play in 27-degree wet in Charlotte? Not really. What would I really like to do? I'd really like to go on and get to Arizona, and I'm going to get my body fat down from 5% to 3.7%. I'm about to get my 40 time shaved just a little so that when I wow them in Indianapolis, I go from being the seventh pick in the draft to the fourth pick in the draft. But to do that, I've got to be in tip-top peak condition, and I can't risk some cat from Duke rolling my ankle over. Or breaking my leg. Or breaking my collarbone.
Well, it was a lot like what we were talking about the other day when, an SMU played La Tech that day and Cortland Southern or whatever his name is at SMU. It was just, he was not existent. He was just kind of running some routes and just.
Yeah,
kinda,
he was telling the kid at Tech, hey, let's just run together, you and me.
Yeah. I think he caught like four balls in the first half, and after that it was, hey,
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. You good? I'm good.
Yeah.
You can tell your kids that you shut me down one day. I'm good with it because I want to cash a check. Because what else are they going? There's no place. The window of time to make money as a football player is so small, right?
Yeah.
So small. And I understand why fans get angry about it. I do. But I think sometimes the fans who get angry about it are not taking a practical approach. Well, you could get hurt anytime. That's true. But now you're at the finish line. You're there.
podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs. Bob Lominick, we had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago. Also, a little news, news there is he now has purchased G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. So if you are local, you'd like to take part in their great customer service and the hometown feel that they give you, G&M is on South Lamar in Oxford. They're going to deliver local. You get a great service there with Bob and his people. So check them out on South Lamar in Oxford.
The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates, they handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. I know I have some neighbors who used it for furnace repair recently. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Ole Miss beat South Carolina in basketball to open SEC play on New Year's Eve.
They did.
Played pretty well down the stretch, made a few plays.
Played well defensively.
At Georgia tomorrow night, and then Mississippi State at home on the weekend. We were trying to, right before we started the podcast, it's a very uneven schedule. As you know, last year there was kind of a stretch about this time of the year where you thought, well, they can get a little momentum here. They can do some certain things. They've got some home games, some winnable road games. Number one, they haven't put games together this season, no matter who they've played or what the situation is. But number two, it is a strange schedule. As they got those two games, then they go to Auburn and then start a three-game stretch of Florida at home, at A&M, at Arkansas. It's just hard to get much going right here for them.
It is. The league's really balanced. There's a lot of good teams in it. There's a handful of really good teams in it. It's going to be hard to get into a – there's two ways to look at this. It's going to be hard to get into any kind of a flow. Now, on the flip side, if you're Ole Miss, you need the league to be great. Because if you're harboring any hopes of a return to the tournament – or anything like that, given what's happened in the non-league, you need opportunities. And Ole Miss has them plentiful. They still have Texas on the road. Texas is a solid team. They still have dates with Kentucky and A&M and Florida and Arkansas and Alabama. And there are opportunities to get good wins, really good wins. Their problem is they have to take advantage of a lot of those opportunities for that to happen. And they just – I thought Andy Kennedy said it best the other day. I'll give Andy credit, man. I mean, you talk about a guy that there's no excuses. It's right there. Because they have a path. It's a narrow road, and you have to stay in your lane. But there's a path. For them, it's defend. It's rebound. Get good guard play. Stay out of foul trouble. They're not committing turnovers like they were earlier in the year. I thought they were efficient with the basketball the other day, and I thought they won against a team. South Carolina's always – every team – watch South Carolina play all year. They're going to make other teams look bad all season on the offensive end because Frank Martin's teams just play that physical, almost nasty brand of defense.
They make the game ugly.
They do, and that's how they win. But I thought Ole Miss matched that for the most part. So now they get an opportunity. Georgia's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to go get a win. They're a solid team. It's hard to win there. I can't remember the last time Ole Miss won in Athens. It's been a while.
Yeah. They don't typically play well there.
I'm literally trying to think when the last time they won there was.
Probably find it, but
I mean, I'm sure it's someone's going, Neil, don't you remember? It's whatever. I should remember. I don't. I don't remember the last time they won there.
Obviously, got to beat State Saturday at home.
Oh, yeah. Let's make this clear. They can't lose at home.
To anyone.
Got to win at home.
Play Florida at home.
I don't care.
Florida's been a little uneven.
Yeah. If the goal is to make the tournament, they have to win at home.
I understand.
And then they got to go win. They've got to go. It's an 18-game race. They're 1-0. They realistically have to go 13-5 to even have a shot.
I think it's that high.
14-4 to feel. Yeah, because you have the losses.
You got to go beat Texas and Austin in a couple
maybe
weeks.
If you beat Texas and Austin and then went 13-5, probably would
that's
be
in.
That would get you in.
Because you play so well down the stretch to do that. Yeah, yeah.
And people at that point would say, hey, those losses were overtime losses.
And at 12-6, they look at you and go, God, why didn't you just beat South Dakota State? This should be easy.
And that's the crazy part about this. When people go, man, they suck. I'm like, they don't suck. They don't suck. His teams don't suck. They never suck.
I think they've only got one sub-100 loss right now.
I've covered Andy Kennedy for 10 years. His teams don't suck.
Now, look, it's too many losses.
Yes.
I think they only have one sub-100 loss.
But I'll give them credit. They could be sitting there really beating themselves about the face and brow saying, you change a play here and a play here and a play here and there. What are they now? They're 9 and – what's their record?
8-5, maybe.
8-5. They could easily be 11-2. Shoot, we'd be talking about the tournament right now.
Their only sub-100 loss right now is Illinois State, and then they have top 100 wins against it. Look, it's a little shady because some of these numbers are going to go down as these teams get into conference play.
Sure.
But at the moment, Carolina, Louisiana Lafayette, and Bradley are all top 100 wins at the moment. It's another year where it's just if. I mean, it's becoming a little bit of a broken record over and over and over again. And a lot to that, too. I mean, we don't have time for that today. We'll have plenty of time as the weeks and months move forward.
See where you put a survey up?
I did. A survey is up at rebelgrove.com. You scared of the results?
Not scared of them.
I looked at a few. Actually, it's a pretty high overall favorability across the board. I think Russell had us a little beat at the moment, but we're chugging along. We're doing okay.
Well, it is Russell's time of the year.
It is his time of year. Yeah.
And which is fine with me, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, Russell's coming back from Ohio today, so for a couple hours, if you're missing his normal work ethic, that is the reason for that. But just letting you know. So, football, moving into the playoffs for the NFL. Neil, let's get some early thoughts. We'll do this later in the week, really, where we pick matchups. But just wild card games this week. What's the first thing that pops into your head as I tell you each of these, starting out with the 3 o'clock game on Saturday. It is the Tennessee Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, the Titans finished the season well.
Got in.
You know, they're interesting.
They're interesting from this standpoint. And maybe this is because they're always in my area and I'm typically pissed off because I can't get a Saints game when the Titans are on, so I already have a negative mindset. Something about them, even when they're playing well, they don't look like they're playing well to me. Does that make any sense at all? I watch them and they never pass an eye test for me.
No, they don't. There's only a couple of teams in the AFC that ever do pass the eye test.
Same ones over and over and over again. Yeah. New England, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
That's about it.
Yeah. The nightcap, doing already in a rough shape, getting ready for Saturday night. The Atlanta Falcons at the LA Rams.
Oh, boy. Give Atlanta some credit, man. I mean,
they won a game they had to win.
Had to
actually,
win it.
Looking back, they didn't because Seattle lost. But
they looked pretty good doing it. Carolina looked awful.
That's Carolina. They're great or terrible, depending on the day.
The Rams are solid.
The Rams are better.
Yeah, this is
– now, the Rams might get a little first playoff game, oh, my God, going Saturday night. Because, look, the Rams at some point during this window are going to go to a Super Bowl. They've got a lot of young talent. They're good. They're going to go to a Super Bowl at some point in this window. But this game is going to be a mental challenge for them Saturday night. So if you told me to pick it, I almost kind of like Atlanta on the road Saturday night.
Yeah, if you told me there was going to be an upset, I'd say it's there. The Rams, that first playoff experience for Jared Goff going against Matt Ryan, who was in a Super Bowl a year ago.
And had a 25-point lead.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. It's the Rams are really good, though. They'll line up and physically punch you in the mouth. And that guy's done a terrific job, McVay.
Kansas City, a great sports town. Cheap tickets. 7,800 tickets still available, starting at $39 for the game Saturday. What's up? That's strange.
It is strange.
Much lower than most places. Jacksonville really, really doing work. You know, they've always been the butt of jokes from an attendance standpoint. They have the fewest tickets remaining of any of the games on the secondary market. And the cheapest indoor ticket to get in the door is $279 right now for Jacksonville and Buffalo. That is your 12 o'clock game at noon on CBS. Some of that might be Buffalo people traveling down for that game, though, because that fan base is nuts and insane. That might be a Bills thing.
Yeah, if they can get the hell out of there. Buffalo is like frozen tundra right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Buffalo-Jacksonville is a fun game.
See if McCoy's healthy. You know, he had that injury.
They're saying they think he can play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of want them to win for some reason. I don't know why. Kind of pulling for Buffalo in that game. And then around 3:40 Sunday, my panic attack will begin. The Carolina Panthers at the New Orleans Saints from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome to cap off Wild Card Weekend. I went through a lot of different emotions on Sunday because as Atlanta was winning that football game, I was actually pulling for the Saints to lose because mentally I could not handle Saints Falcons on Sunday. So I wanted to remove the possibility of opening the playoffs against the Falcons. I actually were kind of the Panthers were not a good matchup that I really wanted either because I hate the whole you beat a team twice thing because I'm a mental wreck right now.
But the Saints are so much better than the Panthers.
They played like crap Sunday at Tampa Bay.
They did, but you knew Tampa was going to play that last home game hard and all that stuff.
They already said they're keeping their coach, and it was, eh.
The Saints had it, kind of let it get away. And
we'll see. Minnesota, Philadelphia, the two byes. Philadelphia doesn't really scare me at all. Minnesota kind of scares me. Defensively, they're really good. Keenum's done a nice job.
Saints would get Philly, though, right?
Well, depending. I mean, okay. The Philadelphia gets the lowest rate. They would need the Rams to beat the Falcons to get Philly.
Okay.
If the Falcons win, they're no matter what going to Philadelphia.
Gotcha.
I mean, suddenly that thing for Atlanta, you look up, you go, hey, I just got to beat the Rams who've never been here, and I've got to beat – Philadelphia without a quarterback? Yeah, it's not for a six seed. That's a pretty good little run right there. You got
Minnesota is interesting.
Oh, Minnesota's interesting.
Because
yeah,
Keenum, I know he's Case Keenum, but Case Keenum's playing pretty well right now.
I think Minnesota's beating the Saints and the Rams this season, too.
Beat the Saints early, right?
Beat both of them early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Well, yeah, beat the Saints in the opener. It was Sam Bradford.
I get to January and I disregard September.
Do you?
Yeah, a little bit because it's just a
– Saints started 0-2.
That's right, they did.
Yeah, started 0-2. Went 11-3 after that.
It's pretty good.
Went on a little bit of a run after 2 weeks. I went, well, all right, on to 18. What are we doing with Breeze? We're paying him. What are we doing? And then Alvin Kamara started showing up and things got real, real quick. Defense improved fast. I mean, you had – was it Holder you had on the podcast?
Yeah.
Hey, the defense is a little better, and he's getting credit for it.
It was
right
early,
now.
Like 4 weeks in. When
sure
he said,
enough, that was the run there.
He was optimistic that day, and Larry's not usually the optimistic sort.
Didn't he have to shave his head last week?
Yeah, because they
– They won 11 games.
They won 11 games. He said they could not win 11.
Yeah. Ooh.
Speaking of bets, have you started to take a look at where you might end up for a basketball tournament?
Yeah, and honestly, it's a hard deal on y'all because my availability doesn't lend to a lot of bad venues. There's bad tournaments. There are not a lot of bad venues.
So what are the options we have for you?
Because
you're gonna have to go someplace the weekend of the SEC tournament, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a baseball thing. So
the first weekend.
Yeah, the first weekend. So it's actually, no, it's the next weekend that everything's available. So I need the later tournaments is what's...
Right.
It's the March 8th, 9th, 10th weekend that I can go wherever. It's Orlando. That's fine if you'd like to do that. Orlando's good. Vegas is an option. Houston is an option. New Orleans is an option.
What's in New Orleans?
A Sunbelt. I tell you the one, and by saying this, I will not be allowed to go. The one that's intriguing is Philadelphia for the Ivy.
I think the Ivy would actually be fun.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. The one that I am dreading that might be chosen is Norfolk, Virginia for the MEAC championship. Yeah, that is there. Anaheim is on the list. I don't think that would be going to Disney World does not count as or Disneyland. Sorry. Yeah. There's not a lot of bad ones. Like, because this was going to be a guarantee. This was done had I been available the weekend before. The Summit is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, that was going to happen.
That was done. Yeah. But that was...
That's where I would have been sent. Yes,
you would have been in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah. Somehow I won this. I still don't really know how.
You picked really well, and then... You have a Big Ten bias that also matched up with the Big Ten having their best bowl season in 30 years.
Well, I knew those teams pretty well. And so because I didn't take Michigan.
That was the one you didn't take.
I bailed on Michigan.
You did. You bailed on Michigan.
Because I didn't think they were going to beat.
But you kind of like Muschamp.
But it wasn't that
deal there.
It wasn't that, though. I do like Will.
Okay.
But it wasn't that. I did not believe they would win the game. I didn't think they would. I thought they would try to out-athlete South Carolina, and I didn't think they could do it. I picked South Carolina straight up.
I would have gone 1-1 last night. I ended up getting them both right. I would have gone 1-1 had I not been trying to just make up ground yesterday. I would have picked Georgia. I would not have picked Alabama last night in those games. And now Georgia was a fluke cover because they covered overtime. But
yeah. God, that was a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you rolled. I mean, it was almost to the point where you'd have to – I mean, I would almost had to have, a career deal there.
Well, I think yesterday you were going to have to
– I had to go
– You had to run the table.
Yeah, I had to either go 5-0 or 4-0 because even if you go 4-1, you still fall back a game. I was praying to get within one and then try to win the appeal because you didn't put the Navy score into it, the game going. That was kind of
I would have, and I would have granted that.
That was kind of my deal going into yesterday was if I can get it back to within one game – Then I start going to the judges, and we start trying to.
We would have made the championship game the tiebreaker.
You're right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll look at the schedule. We'll figure it out. Thanks to Austin Barber and his guys for playing along and helping us out with that part of the goofy stuff that we do from time to time. I don't know what's next, but we'll figure it out.
You know, send me to some random. Baseball, college baseball tournament, are you?
God, that would suck.
That would so suck.
That'd be much worse than any basketball situation you could have for multiple reasons. The games are so much longer.
Yes.
I mean, they're in terrible venues.
Oh, God. So bad.
The Horizon League baseball tournament in Wisconsin or something.
Oh, God. LA. Just the thought.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, full-service lawn maintenance landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. Even though Christmas is gone, you can still get that late gift. Hook up someone in your family with that outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen area that they have been wanting. Get the free quote from MasterCuts, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And even though it's freezing and nobody's mowing yards right now, when time comes, go ahead and get that annual contract locked in. Mention the podcast, and the first cut will be free.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They got everything you're looking for. If you're looking for one of the new Nissans, the new Armada, the new Pathfinder, really cool. If you want to previously own one, they've got those as well. Great lease deals you should ask about. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, You speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, all without a 5-minute wait. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000, with Kasasa ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Again, a lot of football as the week moves on. Some NFL, more basketball too, as Ole Miss does play tomorrow night against Georgia. Might try to get like Anthony Dasher or somebody on tomorrow to talk a little bit of all Georgia. That's going on. He was at the Rose Bowl last night.
He was. He was in Vegas as of this morning.
Oh, really? So he's traveling back. So tomorrow might be a time to get Mr. Dasher on the horn.
What'd you think of John Gruden? The John Gruden finally getting back into football, apparently.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of like Lane Kiffin. You go to the Raiders, and then, you know, you end up at Tennessee. So it's really all in the Vols' master plan. At some point, it'll work out on the second time around through the Raiders for Mr. Gruden. I wouldn't do it. I mean, credit to him. He must be one competitive son of a gun, because I'm making millions of dollars to never lose a game and just go talk on TV for a couple hours and spend a couple days in the city. But no chance in the world.
The ownership stake, though, that's
good. A lot of people saying it probably isn't getting done, that it's a little too sticky.
Because I would think that you talk about slippery slopes. That becomes a negotiating tool for everyone.
And then you roll a 4-12 in year three.
That's where, if you're a Bill Belichick, do you put any stock at all into some of these crazy Belichick rumors?
Not yet. Eli, the quarterback in New York in 18?
Man, I don't know. Probably.
Gettleman already cleaning house a little bit. Cut Hart the other day before the game.
Well, they finally admitted as an organization that they butchered that draft night, that they just panicked.
Eli Apple's going to be gone, because if not, Landon Collins might physically harm him.
Well, the irony of we took Apple because he's a quality guy.
And he's apparently not. He's
not at all.
And he's an average corner on his best day.
Well, the whole thing, if you're a senior in college and you don't know how to turn the stove on, that is a life skill thing. If you're a senior in college and you don't know how to do a load of laundry, that's a life skill thing that would alarm me. I'm not talking about being being able to put together a gourmet meal,
no,
Chase. I'm not talking about being able to be a Martha Stewart.
You're saying domestically feed yourself.
I'm saying having the life skills to survive.
Yeah.
You don't know how to brown some ground beef.
Yeah. Make a grilled cheese.
Yeah, you can't figure out how to wash and dry your clothes. You're taking all of your stuff either to mom or the dry cleaners. Those are life skills. I would be alarmed when one of my scouts says, this kid has no life skills. Whoa. So we're going to bring him to New York?
You know, speaking of that draft night, we love him. We praise him all the time. Laramie's got to come on in year three now. He had a mediocre to poor year in his first season as left tackle. Adam Gase said, you know, he's had two rookie years. He said, we still believe in him. He's been getting moved all over the place. Frankly, he played better at guard in year one than he did tackle in year two. But
at NFL, they study you. Yeah, they study you. They know you back and forth. You've got to – it's like being a major league hitter.
Yeah.
You'll see the major league hitter come up, and that first month he's tearing it up, and you're like, this guy's the next Mickey Mantle. And then he goes 3 months where he can't hit, because they adjust. The great ones adjust to the adjustment. And that happens in the NFL too.
Yeah.
They've studied him. They know everything he does, and now you put elite people against him, and he's going to have to adjust to those adjustments. He's going to have to improve.
Yeah, you're three big for Tunzel as we move forward. I was happy for Quincy Adebojo. He was an active participant in the Ravens game on Sunday. Got up with the active roster. Jeremy Parnell had a nice season for the Jaguars. Still trucking along.
It's amazing.
I mean, Andy Kennedy does have a professional. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, shoot.
So as we wrap, I saw your 10 thoughts, or wherever you put it, no resolutions?
Not really. I hate those things.
Because of what?
Because you're just setting yourself up for another failure.
Why? Just do them.
Oh, yeah, right.
Set a goal and then achieve said goal.
What's your – you have a goal?
You know –
that you're going to be able to – that you're still going to be working on in October?
You know, here's the deal with this. I do think humans – because I saw people going, what – why? You do all this shit on December 31st, sorry. You do all this stuff on December 31st, and then you reset it on January 1st. Why not August 6th?
Yeah.
August 7th? But
fair question.
It's a little – it's arbitrary. But, no, it is, but it isn't. I think humans do need splice points. I think something in the human mind, you need a wake-up-in-the-morning splice point. Now, I'm not saying that splice point couldn't be August 7th, but I do think there's something to the hey, reset, recharge.
Oh, sure. I don't think there's any question that sometimes, like, for people who've...
And it also comes after the holiday season when, in whatever ways we mean this, whether it's watching too much football or food, it's kind of a gluttony period. So
yeah.
It's a little bit of a cleanse, too, off that gluttony period.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of different things related to the resolution that psychologically and mentally makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I think so. I mean, and I think if your resolution is, hey, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to whatever. But if your resolution is something insane, I think those people are creating another.
You're talking about like if you got up and said, hey, I'm really going to jump into golf, and my resolution is I'm going to break 90 this year.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
And if I do, I'm going to sacrifice a lot of other things in my life to get to that place.
I don't know that it's resolutions per se. I think I did do a little maybe introspection on just ways that I can save time, ways that I can be more productive through the year. I've got to be more organized. I've got some different things that I let slide through just because of a lack of organization. So I think that's a key. And it's a weird deal from my standpoint because I'm habitually punctual in those type of things, but there's some other organization things that I'm not as OCD about. I'm in very related things, I'm incredibly OCD about one thing and couldn't care less about the thing that kind of attaches to it. So I've got to get better and a little more organized.
I mean, if I have one, it's to be more efficient with my spare time.
Okay.
To spend less time like just perusing Twitter for the hell of it. We have a tendency in our field, because all of the people in our field are on Twitter, to think that Twitter really matters. When in reality, if we were really focusing on marketing via social media,
Facebook.
We would be all over Facebook.
Facebook.
And less time on Twitter. Because you put something on Twitter and it lives for like 7 minutes.
7 minutes, yeah.
You put something on Facebook and it lives for days.
Yeah, the algorithms keep pushing it if you do it correctly.
So I spend way too much time on Twitter. I'd love to stop. I'll acknowledge that it's probably an addiction.
Yeah.
I've got these windows of time in my day when, and you know this because I do this podcast every morning, and then I do a beer garden once a week. I'd love to get more organized on when I do that. I do the podcast with Russell once a week, which is not a big deal because he shows up and I just ask him questions and he talks and we're done. The chance we're adding another podcast here really soon. I don't even think you and I have talked about it.
We have not discussed this.
I've talked about it with both the sponsor and the other person, and it's getting there.
Okay.
But for me, it's about, and then in the afternoons, you know, I got to go get Carson. I got to get him to baseball. I got to get him to soccer. I want to work out. There's stuff I want to do. It's where I lean more and more to the Peloton thing. Because I could finish this podcast and 15 minutes after I'm done be in a spin class.
Yeah.
In my house.
Yeah.
And then I could spin again in the afternoon if I wanted to. And so I got to get some of that stuff organized where I don't. I wrote about this a little bit where I want to be able to, because I look up and Campbell's halfway through her junior year. Caroline's halfway through her freshman year. She'll be driving in a year. Carson's not a little boy anymore. He's going to be a teenager in less than 2 years. So it's if you don't stop, and it, you'll look up and I'm pushing 50. You look up and it's like, whoa, where'd the time go? I don't go visit my parents nearly enough. There's stuff that I wish I could do, but in my mind, I say to myself, I don't have time. And I think, well, maybe I could make time, but I got to be efficient with that time.
You're going to do that. You're going to stop drinking in 2018.
I didn't say that.
Mine kind of plays off that too. I've got to be better during the middle of the day because I had years where I have not adjusted well to parenthood from the standpoint of replacing the morning time that I always had to get a lot of things done. I've done a really poor job of finding that same amount of time in as comfortable of a situation
sure.
as I did. I mean, because I'd wake up at 5 and that's 2 hours of unimpeded, no really phone calls.
Get a lot done.
Nothing.
I mean, get a lot done in 2 hours.
You kind of set your day in yeah. those 2 hours, and now maybe I get 20 minutes, maybe I get 40 minutes, maybe I get no minutes.
Right.
And I can't plan ahead and go, hey, I'm for sure going able to set the alarm, get up at 5 a.m. and write this, and send this invoice.
Yeah, the stuff that maybe you should have done the day before, and you're yeah. like, you know what, I'll get it done at 5 a.m. because yeah. you knew that you were going to get up at 5 and you were going to do
it's
it.
It's done by 8, nobody knows the difference.
Yeah,
and
no one knows,
over.
Exactly. And now you've got a kid in the house, yeah. and she's got an ear infection, or she's whatever, yeah, so and
like this morning was nice, and I got to about 6:35. I had about yeah. an hour this morning. Like I set up that survey, I did a couple other things, just kind of.
But there's going to be the morning that she wakes up and she's got gunk and she doesn't feel good. And
frankly, I need to teach myself to stay up later.
Probably
because I still get enough sleep. I need to stay up 45 minutes later and give myself that 45 minutes at night. I'm a bad worker at night. I lose concentration. My eyes kind of hurt. I don't work well at night, so
my problem when I work at night is I get so wired that I can't get to sleep.
Yeah, I get sleepy where I just stare at the screen, almost nod off. I can't stay focused. It's like I wrote a little depth chart thing on Ole Miss football last night and put it up while I was watching Alabama Clemson because the game was keeping me awake enough to kind of fiddle with what I was yeah. doing. It's kind of where I was.
Boy, if that game kept you awake.
Yeah, well.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, I had to sit. I mean, I thought we're going to talk about it tomorrow. I got to watch some of it just in case something.
Well, I did
crazy
the same
happens.
Thing. I watched just at 10-6 when Alabama forced the turnover. I almost went F it.
At 10-6.
10-6. Because you said it's over.
Yeah.
And once it was 17-6, you realistically knew it was over.
So the girl on the beach in Gulf Shores had a good morning after she said it just meant more one more time and get ready for Georgia and Alabama next week again. Oh my gosh, the hype machine is going to be off the rails.
The hype machine and the hate machine are yeah. going to be off the rails, and the truth is in the middle. It always is.
Yeah.
It will never be more in the middle than it is this time.
Last question, Ohio State have a beef for getting left out. Anything you see yesterday make you think, yeah, they really had a beef?
Yeah, they had a beef. They had the same resume Alabama had. Probably played in a better league than Alabama played in.
One more loss.
They did, but that loss was to a damn fine football team. No, at the end of the day, what kills Ohio State is that loss to Iowa, losing like that. They could have lost by 3 points.
They got ran
Iowa.
Out of the building.
Yeah, got blown out by an Iowa team that's just kind of
yeah, Chili's.
Chili's.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to Chili's and just completely destroyed the place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought this particular bowl cycle was as compelling an argument for an 8-team playoff as we're ever going to have. And
yeah.
Here's the other thing I'm going to say. For years, I listened to the college football purist. People get mad at me. They go, you don't like college football. And I love college football. I hate college football purist. You've been around me long enough to know what I mean. I listened to college football purist for years and years tell me that the playoff, any playoff, would ruin college football. Yesterday did not ruin college football. Yesterday was a boom for college football. Can you imagine if yesterday, instead of having meaningless games on at 11 and at 2,
two other playoff
that those games. Had been meaningful games?
We'll take the exact same game. Ohio State plays USC.
Let that be at 11 a.m. from Dallas to start off New Year's Day.
Wisconsin, whomever.
Sure. Auburn. You're telling me that we, as a college football consuming society, would not have consumed, I mean, completely consumed four playoff games? And you can't move the Capitol. You could move the Citrus Bowl to New Year's Eve.
Of course.
I could still watch LSU Notre Dame on New Year's Eve. Now it's the day before the game.
Yeah. They left the NFL alone this year on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. But you understand my point.
Yeah.
I still believe four quarterfinals is the way to go.
Okay.
And then you could play the two semifinals next weekend, and you could play the championship on January the 15th. And yes, is it going to be whatever? Yeah, whatever. But in terms
also
of.
Also, move things back a little.
Everyone in a week is. What's everyone going to say in a week? Man, I hate that college football's over. Well, this would have pushed it back another week.
Yeah. All right. Be back to tomorrow. Again, we'll talk more basketball as the week goes on, some NFL, and more. So, regular schedule. Be back on Wednesday.